LBC Weather.
Brought to you by Steri, suppliers of the Index Voice and Data Communication System.
So we're back, but the microphone's broken. Excuse me one moment. It may sound as though I'm putting a condom on it, but...
It's fallen out of its carriage.
Yeah.
There you go.
Phew, they only cost about £1,000 these days.
Who's doing the weather, you or me?
I'll do it. I'll do today, you do tomorrow.
Go on then.
Tonight, dry and we're back home, by the way.
Yeah.
So nice to be home. Hallelujah.
I feel better now.
Everything's working.
Yeah.
Dry and mild with a mix of patchy cloud and clear spells. Winds will be light from the southwest and a few... Do I want to moan about who writes the weather now? Did you write the weather, Andy?
No, it was an operative.
I don't understand what's wrong with that. Winds will be light from the southwest with a few mist patches possible in the early hours. What's wrong with that?
An operative?
Yes, an operative.
You mean an inoperative?
Possibly.
Who cares what direction the wind comes from? Especially if it's going to be light.
I do, because it's warm if it comes from the southwest, right? Get on with it.
Your mood has deteriorated since we came back home. Don't you feel more comfortable now in this air-conditioned loveliness?
I certainly do.
Are we taping this, by the way, Andy? Never mind about the phone. That's the most important part.
Is that it?
No. Tonight's lows in town, 15 degrees Celsius. That's 59 degrees Fahrenheit. And now over to the missus.
And outlook for Sunday, that's tomorrow, a dry day with some spells of fairly hot sunshine and a light southwesterly breeze, which means the wind will be warm. Highs of 27 degrees Celsius, that's 81 degrees Fahrenheit. And
so there's warm wind for you.
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
LBC Travel.
With her. UK breakaway bargain from the best on the block.
Drivers on the M1 will find the outer lane closed off between the Gateway Services and Junction 2 at Five Ways Corner. Bloemfontein Road at White City is closed between the Westway and South Africa Road. The Delancey Street at Camden has roadworks between the High Street and the Parkway, and restrictions on Shaftesbury Avenue by New Oxford Street has reduced to one lane eastbound. Brent Street at Hendon has single-line traffic and temporary signals by the Green Lane Shirehall Lane roundabout. That's not far from the North Circular Road. Meanwhile, this evening at Claremont Gardens in Esher, there's a fair taking place. Also, a music concert at Crystal Palace Concert Bowl and another concert at Kenwood House in Highgate. Underground, Northern Line delays. East London Line buses replacing trains for the weekend between Wapping and Shadwell. And Silverlink Metro Overground, North London Line trains between North Woolwich and Richmond still faring with delays after a points problem at Stratford earlier on. I'm Daniel G.
Isn't it nice to be back?
Yeah, but it won't be for long. Well, LA, but a phone robot for LBC Travel. I'm off soon.
Huh? That's it,
Daniel. Who's back? You or me?
We're back where
we're back in our home now.
Yeah. It's nice that you're back, but I have to say goodbye.
Yeah, that's it from you, isn't it, now?
Well, for a couple of weeks, yeah.
Oh, where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going off.
Where?
To get some sun, sea, sand, and sangria.
Where?
Sunny Spain.
Where?
Down south, the touristy bit.
What, in Marbella?
Not far.
Ooh.
Yeah, lovely. Nice. Just going to spend a couple of weeks of lounging around in the sun and
working. You know, it's over 100 degrees there at the moment.
Yeah, I heard it's a bit hot.
Mm. You're going to fight.
Lots of sun cream.
Who are you going with?
Just pals. Friends. Well, you're getting into too deep here. It's getting too close. I'm not going to reveal too many of my secrets.
No.
No. You really wouldn't want to hear them.
No, we would. I'd love to hear them all.
Money.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, send us a postcard.
All right, I will.
Have a lovely time.
We won't know which address you'll be able to get us at, but, send us
your
I'm sure I'll bump into you again soon.
Arrivederci. 0171-412-1152. It's, now, which of these buttons is it?
It's the...
Which are unlabeled?
Second one down.
This one?
It's Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin. On LBC, the voice of London, and Carol McGiffin, 0171-412-1152.
traffic music, don't you?
It's marvellous, but if it goes on too long, it gets on your nerves slightly. So, do you think my mum hates me now?
Mm-hmm. She'll have to take a number and join the ever-expanding queue of people that hate you. And I only say that to be nice.
I don't think she does. I'll have to ring her up, won't I, later? I was going to ring up today, but I thought, oh, it just come out wrong.
Later? She'll be drunk later.
Will you stop it? That's so rude. My mum doesn't get drunk. She just drinks a lot. She does. But she doesn't drink that much. She doesn't, you know. But anyway, Mum, listen, I didn't have time.
That you're continuing to try and excuse your behaviour means that you are guilty, guilty, guilty.
I'm not guilty of anything. I'm guilty of, you know, not going by to say hello. But anyway, I thought she might ring up and say, no, it's all right, dear, don't worry. But she hasn't rung up, so I reckon she don't like me anymore.
Hates you.
Or more the fantastic radio that I bought, it doesn't work. That's likely.
Or we're not on the air now. Oh. That's also likely.
Possibly.
Here's one in Southwark. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, dear.
Pluckley.
Pardon?
Pluckley.
Yeah, what about Pluckley?
Carol, you must go there. It's the most haunted village in Kent.
Oh, yeah, I know that, yeah, because we went to this pub and there was a little booklet, which Rich just buys everything. This little booklet said, oh, can we have one of those? How much is it? It's £1. All right, we'll have it. So we bought this little booklet and it tells you all about the ghosts, and one at the pub we were in actually was haunted.
Was Nick in it?
No. No, definitely not. How do you know this?
Oh, I just know this. I like you to all read these bits, don't you?
Yeah, apparently there's a ghost in almost every building in Pluckley.
Yeah, apparently. Anyway, he's got to stop being nasty to you. It's only because he's jealous.
Yeah.
He's so jealous of you.
He's jealous of me, that's right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You know your car?
Yeah.
I won't mention the name, obviously. If you want another one. Is that the same model you had to take out for a test drive and that many years ago you went absolutely potty about?
Oh, no, it wasn't actually, no.
It wasn't?
No, that was when I was thinking of getting rid of it and getting a new one, which was another topless model, but no, I had a nightmare test drive. It was almost as though I was on candid camera.
Really?
It was like the salesman. I didn't do anything about it. I should have written to the head of this car company, big car company, and I should have told them about this bloke, because it was the biggest waste of time ever in the history of the world. And there I was, contemplating spending, you know, near on £20,000 on this brand new car. And, you know, I would have traded mine in probably. They would have made a few quid out of it. I just couldn't believe this. Anyway, I'm not going to go into it again, but you obviously remember the story.
Yes, it does. The good thing is you loved the car.
I did like the car. Yeah. I liked the car a lot, and it was because of this boat that I didn't buy one. And in fact, you know, at the time, I should have written to the head of this car company, this big car company, and said to them, I wanted to buy that car, but I didn't buy it because your salesman was so useless. And then, you know, they probably would have given me a free one for a year or something if I'd said, you know, look, I'm on the radio and I could...
Or not,
you know. but anyway, I never bothered because I'm not very good at that kind of thing.
I've seen people who are on the radio who have obviously got comp cars, but they have their name writ large on the side of it.
Yeah, I mean, local stations, they do.
Carol didn't, because I saw the pictures and I saw the write-ups. So you leave her alone, you rotten so-and-so.
Oh, that one.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, I was paid once, actually, to review a car, that's right.
Really? Which car?
Toyota. Toyota Celica convertible.
And how was it for you?
I would have loved that car, but that was near on £30,000. That was a good car.
Well, you could have said to them.
No. No, I wrote it for the Express. I wrote an article about it, yeah.
You're talking about the other car that you was asked to review. You see, Nick knows none of this, does he?
No.
No, neither does anybody that's listening.
Yeah, no, they don't, actually. Well, some of them do. We have a lot of calls where people say, oh, you should listen to the other place. And they probably wouldn't.
So jealous, Carol. So you leave her alone, Nick.
Yeah, leave me alone, you.
That's right.
I'll think about it. Thanks a lot.
Stop winding my old mum up.
Anyway, you only feel guilty because he's made you to feel guilty. He was all right until you spoke to him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, just give him a smack.
All right. I'll give him a slap. Thanks, Cathy.
What a nice lady.
Yeah. He's right. She's right about Plucky, though. The most haunted village in the world.
It's is it? Let's not do ghosts.
Not doing ghosts.
Not even on a day like today.
I've got to tell you about the pub in Plucky, though, in a minute. I've got to tell you what was going on in this pub. It was hilarious.
It sounds like, every time you say it, it sounds like something that we should be beeping out. The pub in Pluckley.
Pluckley. It's called Pluckley. It's where they film The Darling Buds of May.
But just that phrase, the pub in Pluckley, it just sounds like I should be beeping that out.
No.
It's the pub in Pluckley.
It's the pub in Pluckley.
Let's say it many times fast and see how far we get.
The pub in Pluckley.
And it's freaking out. No, don't.
Where is Pluckley?
Stop speaking, woman.
Oh, go on then. What are you going to say? The lottery number?
We've got your losing lottery numbers. Now, because it's a super duper whooper draw, and there's £20 million at stake, I bought not one, but two numbers.
Is it a super double draw or something then?
Of course.
Oh, you won't win.
And by doubling the number of lines I've
bought. How many lines have you got?
Two. Weren't you listening to me? Just like 3 seconds ago, I've been, did this whole explanation about how many damn lines I bought.
No, all you said was you bought double the lines you normally buy. I didn't know you always only buy one line.
That is not true.
You goon.
I need a new, co-host.
Good. I need my weekends back. Go on.
By doubling the amount of lines from one to two, for those who weren't paying attention, I have increased my chance of winning by approximately zero.
So they've upped the jackpot. They've given it a guaranteed jackpot, right? But they don't actually have to fork out anything because everyone then goes and buys double.
Of course.
So they make all their profits back. So it's not such a big deal. Don't win because you still get, you don't get, more people do it and the chances are even less.
I'm not entering in order to make them poorer. I'm entering in order to make me richer.
No, that's not true.
You're looking at this the wrong way around.
No, because you're actually making yourself poorer every week by wasting money on that voluntary tax.
Of course. I know that. I'm not an idiot. But I'm
doing
it.
But you still do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it because there is some slim outside chance that I might not have to come and fight with the equipment at LBCing you anymore.
You. Go on then, you loser.
Well, let me state that I'm not here for the money.
Would you? No. No. Who is? No. What money?
And by that, I'm not saying that what we get paid is an insignificantly small amount. I'm here because I'm on my day off, I only get one day off. Most people get 2 days over the weekend. Most people in this country get 100 extra days holiday than I do. 100 more days holiday per year than I do. So I picked up this show such that I now work 7 days a week, and I'm not doing it for the money, I'm doing it for the love of it.
Wow, how sweet.
Not for the love of you, for the love of it.
I didn't think that for one second.
Right, so in other words, I have now got a really good chance of getting these numbers. Because you know when you fill out the this lottery thing? You're drawn to certain numbers, and you think, is it going to be 16 or 17? And you think, it's going to be 17. And so that's the one that you pick. And you know that this time, it's going to work. Am I right?
I've got no idea. How do I know? I told you, I don't do it.
So in order to preempt the result, I'm going to play this now. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
Yep, okay, it'd be my pleasure.
Well, you can start by reading out the numbers, and I will check them on my two lines.
Okay, ready?
Here are your losing lottery numbers, ladies and germs.
Are you ready?
Lay it on me, baby.
The first number is 3.
3. No. I got 2.
What a surprise. The second number is 15.
No, I have 16 and 17, but not 15. No, not 15. No.
23.
23. Yes.
Wow. There's hope.
There are two numbers left on the line that I've got 23 on.
Right.
And I still have to get both of those in order to get 10 stinking pounds, which I've only won twice on this sucky game. So unless they're advertising with us, in which case they do a lot of work for charity.
42?
42. Oh. Why have I always been a failure? And did you jump? Or is that the next number?
No, that was it. 42, 45, 48.
No, you don't need to know the rest of
them. Bonus ball 46.
Shut up.
People might want to listen.
Who cares?
They might listen. Then people will switch off and watch the telly. They might listen to you ranting. 3:15, 23, 42, 45, 48, and the bonus ball 46.
So there go my dreams.
Dreadful.
I was counting on that too.
Next on the Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin show.
Did we tell you that?
Ha!
Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin on LBC. The Voice of London.
Right, so here we go again. Was there somebody on this line? Hello?
No.
Hello? So I have,
No, they've gone.
Somebody sent me this perfectly reasonable missive. Says, the campaign for the removal of that Gibbon woman from the LBC schedules.
Hmm? Yes?
There she is there.
Who's that? That's not me, you goon.
This is the woman who's campaigning to get you removed from the schedule. She says,
I know. This is on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah. My name is Primrose Fortescue, and I have been a devoted listener of the London Broadcasting Company since its birth in the autumn of 1973. I'm 71, and therefore can remember the golden days of broadcasting from such stations as the Light Programme and the Home Service. Never again will there be radio of such a high standard. I don't know whether I want to read all this.
Go on.
The day when regional accents were allowed onto the radio was the day when standards first began to come lower. Then LBC first came on the air, and I found it was a breath of fresh air. The presenters were always polite and well-mannered, and they were keen to listen to everyone's views. Few such presenters survive today. Only Giles Brandreth and Pete Murray take their style from the golden age of radio broadcasting.
Well, they're the only ones old enough.
Whilst tuning into the wireless to London Broadcasting one Saturday evening in March, little did I know that I was about to receive the shock of my life. I was expecting to hear the soothing tones of Giles Brandreth, but instead I heard two presenters whittering on about God knows what. My jaw dropped open, my teeth nearly fell out from the shock. I told myself not to panic, as I knew my hearing aid was slightly unreliable and it may have been picking up some interference. I gave it a small tap, which usually does the trick, but to my dismay, I could still hear these two presenters. The man's name was Nick Abbott, and the woman was called Carol Gibbon.
Not!
Both of them were very, very rude, and they did not appear to be talking about anything in particular. It was not a surprise, as they did not get any callers. After 15 minutes of listening to their ramblings, I decided I'd had enough. It was that Gibbon woman who really annoyed me with her whining voice and stupid laugh. I immediately sat down in my favourite armchair and wrote a firm letter to the management of London Broadcasting demanding that Giles Brandreth was brought back. I sent it the following day, but I've yet to receive a reply. I've also made various phone calls to the station. All my efforts appear to have been in vain, as that Gibbon woman is still on Saturday evenings. My grandson suggested I should voice my opinions on the internet, and he has made this homepage for me. Hopefully now someone will listen. And you can send your comments to mcu@softhome.net. Primrose Fortescue, she knows a thing or two, eh, what?
Yeah. Do you want to know how much I care about that?
Not a lot, I'm guessing.
I think it's quite funny, actually.
Right, let's take this one screenless. Hello, you're on the air.
Nick?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Who's this?
I've called you in a couple of weeks now. This is the legalised drug dealer from Stevenage.
Oh, you're the chemist?
No, the psychologist.
Uh-huh.
We thought you worked in a pharmacy.
No! He works in a supermarket.
Legal
drugs, that sort of thing.
See, look, come on, we have so many callers, we don't know who's who anymore.
Oh, so many callers, yes, of course. You have, what, more? Do you need more than two hands?
I don't.
What? To find myself? No.
We haven't had Mr. Dot Com call up tonight yet.
Oh, he never calls up till half nine.
Yeah, was it 9:10 is my prediction. He'll doubtless call up then.
Neil, I think Neil's got a lovely voice and a lovely laugh, actually.
He's all right.
I always look forward to his call.
He's all right. Carol, what is going on with you, Mitch? Are you really going to get it together?
Now, well, what do you mean by get it together?
What do you mean get it together?
Married.
What is wrong with everyone?
Look, if you can buy a house with him.
But no, it's not. That's
are you
going to
make him a decent man?
Why did everybody just get so? Why can't anybody just understand, right, that Mitch and I are very, very good friends and occasionally more than good friends, but that's it, really. What do you mean? Mick, you're just a nightmare. But, you know, it's why has everyone always got to say, so wouldn't it be you silly? Why don't you just get married?
Because you just never stop talking about him.
Yeah, but he's my mate.
Mooning about him with these big cow eyes.
he's my chum, and we spend a lot of time together. So, you know, what do? You talk about people you spend time with, don't you?
Yes, but can men and women really be friends?
Of course they can. Of course they can.
Does sex never rear its ugly head?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, okay, it can ruin it sometimes if it gets out of control. But, you know, if it doesn't, then it's all right. What's wrong, you know, what's wrong with it? You know what the thing is, right? When you get, the older you get, the more intolerant you are of certain people. You know, you go through your life and you have certain friends, which you call friends, but are probably not really friends.
Right.
They're just acquaintances. They're people that you hang around with.
All of your showbiz mates.
I've got loads of people that I hang around with who I like, who are right, but I wouldn't really consider them real friends. You know what I mean? Like, real friends. And as you get older, you kind of...
Who are the people that you hang around with? Well-known personalities that you really flat-out can't stand.
People get ticked off the list as you go along. You just belt up for a minute.
What name?
Look, there is nobody that I can't stand. I like everybody that I hang around with, else I wouldn't hang around with them, would I?
That's not what you told
me. What I'm saying is that there are... As the years go on, there are certain people that you secretly think, God, they're a bit annoying, aren't they? But they're my mate, so I'll put up with their annoying ways. And then eventually you just think, oh, I can't stand it anymore. And you just think, why am I wasting my time on this person? Because
which is why you didn't go and visit your old mum.
Oh,
isn't he horrible? He's so horrible. You leave my mum out of this. My mum obviously is upset with me because I thought she might call in and say, oh, it's all right. But she's obviously too scared of you. That's why she won't ring up.
Please, Mrs. Gibbon, call in.
But there are people who you suddenly just think, I'm wasting my time with this person. I'm making all the effort and they're not making any effort at all. Or it's not that, you just think, God, I can't be bothered to speak to them, just get on my nerves. And then you just kind of drift apart and you fall out and you don't speak to them for a while. And yet there are some people who will always be around because they're amusing, they're funny, they put as much into the friendship as you do.
What, like me, you mean? You rotten fag.
Exactly. You know, there are people, and there are some people who never get on your nerves. Like, Mitch never gets on my nerves.
Really?
Ever. He never annoys me, never gets on my nerves.
Is there any sugar, Andy? Or stirring products?
It's here, and I don't need any of that.
Thanks. I'm very ill. I'll stir it with this knife, don't you worry. I don't need a spoon. That's okay.
And so that's why I spend all my time, or most of my time, with Mitch. Because he doesn't annoy me, doesn't get my nerves, he's easygoing, and we like the same things.
But you should marry him.
Yeah.
Well, why? Why? What's the marriage thing?
What?
What's the big deal?
What?
So, in other words...
Why go and spoil it?
He's really dull in bed. Is that what you're saying?
Don't be ridiculous. You're so rude. Well, you just... ask him yourself.
I think I hit the nail right on the head there, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't be ridiculous. I'm not even going to talk about that.
Which is something that he has fundamentally not done.
What? Hit the nail on the head?
Yeah.
Listen, will
no
you...
No problem.
I'm not talking... I'm not going to get into that conversation on the radio with you. Not even off the radio, ever. It's none
I'll
of your
go on.
Damn business. So leave it out. But
right.
Will people just stop going on about the marriage bit? Because, you know, everybody knows that once you get
he's
married...
He's refused you.
Everything's ruined anyway.
Did you ever go down on your bended knee and beg him to marry you?
Who, Mitch?
Yeah.
No!
A couple of times.
You are really annoying me now. You're just being so annoying. No, of course not.
Right.
Why would I do that? Why would I ruin everything?
I don't know. Why would you go past the front door of your dear old mum who's sitting in, like, a darkened room because she can't afford the electricity with a rug over her knees? Nobody comes to visit her ever. She doesn't have a TV. She's only recently had a radio because you managed to get her a second-hand one down the Oxfam shop.
I bought her a brand-new radio, let me tell you, and it wasn't cheap. And it's good because it's got all digital presets so she can just press the button.
She's 103 years old. She's not going to know for digital...
She's not. She's 66, and it was her birthday last weekend, and I was down there all day Sunday.
She probably still calls it the wireless. You bought her a digital product. She won't even know how to switch it on.
She does. Will you? You're horrible, you are.
He's thirsty.
He is, isn't he? Oh, I bet you anything. I bet you anything. If I ring my answering machine at home now, my mum's left a message on it. She'll be like... She'll go, hello, it's me.
Yeah,
oh, don't worry about it.
You should listen to that nice young man that you do the show with. That's what she'll be saying.
No, she won't be saying that, I can guarantee.
Yes, Phil.
You are changing, aren't you? First of all, you take a holiday, and yet she come back, and you're happy for the first time in however many years. And now you're taking days when you're ill. I mean, what is going on? What's the next thing that's going to happen?
Retirement.
So that's what the net heads on the earth are asking now, right now. Where are you heading next? Are you heading to superstardom eventually?
Yeah, bound to be, yeah. Because that's the thing about me, is I've got star shining out of every pore.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks a lot. Got to go.
0171-412-1152.
This is a journey into sound.
You'd like to apologize for anything that Abbott and McGiffin say.
Nick Abbott and Carol McGriffin.
Come again.
McGiffin?
No.
McGiffin.
Okay.
Nick Abbott and Carol
get a new voiceover.
Carol McGiffin. Personal voiceover.
Thank you.
Hello, sweetie.
Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin on LBC, the voice of London.
Back at it. Here's one in Clapham. Hello.
Oh, hi, Nick. Hi, Carol.
Hello, Steve.
How's it going tonight?
Fantastic.
I think it's going well. I was, like, today I was driving, yeah? Mm. Like, usually on my own listening to the show.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I've been out buying a new car, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's been a right old struggle buying a new car.
What car are you buying?
Oh, can I say that?
Yeah.
A little Golf.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, not a brand new one, second-hand one.
Okay.
But I like sort of that to sort of like get a new car to feel a bit better about myself, you know?
Okay, good.
So, I've been going here, looking everywhere.
Mm.
But anyway, I bought one today, and I was really happy, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I got my mate's car in the car park. There weren't many cars in it. And it's only a little car, but I went, yeah! You know, as loud as I possibly could, and as I was whizzing around, little back tyres whizzed away, he nearly passed out, yeah?
Why?
Well, because I was, like, whizzing his car around, because I was so happy that I've actually got the car.
Well, how fast were you going?
Well, probably, you know, about 25, but the sound of my voice was about 110, yeah?
Yeah, nothing wrong with a bit of excitement.
No, I was well excited. Anyway, so I was driving along, and I thought, my God, it's 6 o'clock, so I must have, it took ages to get the car and sort the paperwork out.
Mm.
And I'm listening to you. Like, you know, all at the beginning of the show, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, what's going on? Are they mucking about? Are they, which studio are they in? And where are you? And what are you talking about? Because I just tuned in just after you didn't go out
see,
on air.
There you
so,
go.
So I didn't know what was going on, but it was great. It was good radio. So I was, like, really thinking.
Oh, thanks.
Anyway, listen, Nick.
That's the thing about this show. It really makes you think.
It takes your mind to places where, you know, where you've been in your own life.
Yeah.
We address the issues.
When
like,
you were
the
like,
studio doesn't work.
Yeah, when you were, like, three.
Well, maybe you, Nick. Anyway, listen, Carol.
What?
I know you love your mum, right?
I do.
I can just hear it in your voice, right? Because I could talk about my mum the way you talk about your mum.
Mm.
And she knows I love her. So don't worry about any of this, you know, little bit going on tonight. Cause she knows you love her.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I know she does. And Nick's just winding me up, isn't he?
Does he love his mum?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. All right, then, so what else have I got? Oh, a couple of other things I've forgotten about. Oh, yeah, do you know the other week when you was off?
Yeah.
And Nick, I mean, Nick did do a reasonable show.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a second. I really object to this. People are saying it like I'd never done it before.
Nick, you've done it before, but you miss Carol, yeah?
Well, it was... The thing with doing a show with someone, especially someone as verbose as this woman, is that, of course, it's going to sound different. It's like you take anything away from anything, and people... and their immediate reaction is...
Yeah, but I'm not saying
it
didn't sound... Nick... You've done really well, mate. You kept the show going. Nick brought Andy in a lot and had a lot of chats with him, and no one said that, right? Because the other week somebody put Andy down, and I was a bit upset about that because Andy's really good.
He's a diamond geezer tonight, I'll tell you.
Yeah, he's been right here there, sorting that fax out. I mean, what's that chair that Nick had? Has that been oiled?
No, we've moved studios again now.
You have moved studios. It's much better, because when you was in different studios, you didn't sound so intimate, but now you sound more intimate.
Yeah.
And you're bouncing off each other well.
Mm-hmm. We're in the same room, though.
Yeah, I know now, but before you wasn't. It was...
No.
Anyway, listen.
What?
In closing.
I don't know what's happening about this show, right, but I'm taping it all right for posterity, yeah?
Good.
And, I don't watch telly anymore listening to you two, you know? And that must be worth, you know, what's that worth, Carol?
Oh, I don't know. It's worth
a lot to me, because I'm using me aid, coming back to, like, visualising, you know, what I get on in my life and what you're talking about in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please,
great show, Carol.
Please don't tell us what you get up to in your life.
I'd love to know.
A lot of money to keep quiet.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's a result. Thanks, Steve.
Anyway, I love this show, right? And I'm listening.
Tape it for posterior. There you go, Steve. Thanks a lot, mate.
Stop it.
I'll see you over the rainbow somewhere. 0171 412
Leave my line, he's sweet.
1152. Of course he's sweet. I didn't say anything about him not being sweet.
He likes the show. Lots of people like the show. Mm. Lots of people listen to the show as opposed to watch television.
I have never been on a show where I haven't blipped up. I've never done a talk show where I haven't blipped up the audience ratings. Never, not once, ever.
Really?
Nowhere I've ever worked have I not increased the ratings on what I've followed.
Nor have I. On radio, every single show I've ever done has always been
the highest show ever. Does it sound like that we're putting our
case across?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, no, because...
I think it's doomed. Doesn't matter what we say from now on, they've heard it.
No, but the thing is, it's like, in radio, when high ratings means you get fired. If you win an award, you get fired.
Oh, if you win an award, you do
high
get fired.
High ratings, you get fired.
Instantly fired if you win an award,
If they think you're too popular, it's like, oh my goodness, get them off.
No, that's not entirely true.
No, that's not true. But, you know, sometimes people who run radio stations... Anyway, I'm not...
But the award thing is true.
It's true.
If you win an award, particularly a Sony...
You're out.
You will get fired the next day.
That's true.
That entire thing has the kiss of death on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why anybody still goes to that, because it's so obvious that
winning
equals no job.
Sony.
I mean, how many years does it have to happen for people to get that?
Well, there are certain exceptions.
There are?
Mm-hmm.
It obviously sounds like something you don't want to talk about right now.
Well, no, it seems that the people who work for BBC radio...
Oh, the BBC is totally different.
Yeah, but commercial radio, normally you win an award, you're fired.
Instantly?
Mm.
Yeah.
Next day. I would object. Any other station I ever work at, which probably none ever, if they were saying, oh, we're putting in the Sonys, which show do you want? I'd go, no.
Yeah.
But I don't even have to do that. I just get fired anyway.
Not just for...
I've won awards before. I've been fired. You know, I've put the rating, not shows I've worked on or been on, you put the ratings up to the highest rated show on the station and still get fired. You know, I mean, what's the... You can't... Nobody who works in radio can actually get upset about being fired, because it is all a matter of personal taste of the person who happens to be running the station at the time, and that is it.
It's whim, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't, you know, you can't count
if
the
your
personal
numbers,
taste,
if,
can you?
But if your numbers suck and you're losing audience, then you should be fired. I've totally agree with that.
Commercial radio.
Commercial.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question
about
it.
Because you've got to get advertising in. If no one's
the reason we're here is money. That's right.
That's right.
And the only way that a commercial organisation like this makes money is to get a big audience in order to listen to the ads that we play every now and again. And you only
That's
stick
right.
to the ads if you want to hear what the people on the radio are going to say after them. That's how it works. That's the only reason that we're here. Not just us. That's the only reason commercial radio exists.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the adverts, commercial radio would not exist.
We know.
I mean, I know it's like a definition of it, but that is the most important thing about commercial radio. Not the music, or the jolly presenters, or any of that jazz.
Yeah.
Ads, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So if you aren't getting the audience, then of course you should be fired.
Yeah.
But the reason that the industry in this country is so... is generally so dire is because there are just flat out not enough stations. If it was like America, and every major market had 90 radio stations, then the quality of programming that's coming out of it would be fantastic.
No, there are loads of stations, but the problem...
Not enough. Not.
No, there aren't anywhere near enough talk stations in this country. It just doesn't catch on as a genre, if you like, because there aren't enough, and people just aren't used to it. And you can't deny that almost every single music radio station, especially in London, is just like morphing into one station. They all started out. There's a brilliant article in the I can't remember where it was in one of the papers. I think it was the Standard earlier in the week about the change in the Radio Authority rules. They used to have promise of performance, and they've changed that now. They don't have promise of performance. They have like guidelines, and you know it's less strict than it used to be. And as a result of that, they listed all the stations that recently got FM licenses in London, right? And how their initial brief of what they were supposed to be playing, what they actually bid for to do. You know, stations like XFM and used to be Melody, they've all changed the names. Well, Melody's now changed to Magic and Virgin Heart and whatever else. There's a whole big list of them. And they said then, and what they initially set out to do, what it said in their brief or their bids, the reason they won the licenses in the first place, and what they do now. And when you read it, basically, and all you have to do is flick through the dial, and they're all playing the same records, all of them, and you can't deny that. You don't try and stick it off the station that you work for, because it won't wash. They are all the same. They all play the same records, which is why
it's true to say that they all play a core.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them, but there's three or four. They all play certain records, but they have their own identity because they add to those with other records that other stations wouldn't play. Like, Virgin wouldn't play Steps, for instance, which, I mean, I don't really listen, but I'm guessing is all over Capital, like White on Rice.
No, you know, I'm not including Capital in this list, or Radio 1. Because
Heart,
have their identity.
Heart, for instance, plays, you know, Soft, Simply Red, and Rea, and stuff like that. But Virgin's kind of harder and more guitar-edged, and...
Do you play Simply Red?
Not hardly at all. We agree that we used to, but not hardly at all now. No. I can't remember the last time.
So you're like...
Anyway, each station has its own identity, but the reason that they all may appear to be closely related is that there is not enough stations out there. If you've only got a few stations and you can look at the list and say, oh, but there's 20, however many, or 30, or... The fact is that there's only, like, a five stations at most that anybody actually wants to listen to. You know, don't include Sunrise or, you know, any of these other sort of tiny little ultra-minority ridiculous stations that shouldn't actually even be taking up the frequency if they keep telling us that there's no room on the dial for new stations. Then get rid of the ones that people don't listen to, and let's have some of the ones, more of the ones that do. And the reason that they all do appear to be going for the middle ground is that that's where the most of the audience is. If you had three times the number of radio stations, like any major market in America, any comparable city in the United States would have three times the number of stations that we have, then you would have room for a large number of stations stuck in the middle. And then satellite stations, which are giving people, you'd have two jazz stations, you'd have five talk stations, giving you put talk for elderly people, there'd be sports talk, there'd be news talk, and there'd be comedy talk.
But you can't do that in this country. You can't, because there simply aren't enough people. The whole reason, you can't have loads of states like you have in America. There are thousands more people there are in America than there are here.
Don't be daft. I'm talking about comparing London to New York or Chicago or Los Angeles. There's as many people live in London as any of those places. There's exactly the same amount of people. In the greater London area, there's the same number of people as there are in the greater New York area.
Are there?
Yeah, quite possibly more in London.
I don't think so. I'll check that. I don't think so.
I think there are more
people in New York State than there are in greater London.
Well, that's actually not true.
Okay.
In New York State.
You know that, do you?
In New York State. That's like comparing the
southern half of England.
No,
I don't mean New York State. I mean New York City, which comprises the five territories, the five different, not just Manhattan.
Andy, do we have an encyclopedia in the building? I guarantee you that London has the same number of people as Chicago, LA, New York, all of those places.
Well, how many stations does New York City have? Do you know?
About 90. It's about 90.
Do you know that for a
fact? Yes, I do. 90. About that. And they're all commercial. There might be one or two that's public service and they beg on the air for people to send money in. But all of the rest of them are commercial. And the only reason that any of them exist is because they make money. If they didn't make money, or they thought they could get more money by doing a different format, then they'd do it overnight. A country station would turn to a rock station overnight without any discussion with any authority or
anything.
Well,
how come they have so many wavelengths, though? Because isn't there like a...
Precisely right. You take your little radio that you are told by the government can only pick up, can only physically hold 30 stations in the London area, and you take it to New York, and hey presto, by some magic dust that's been waved over it on the plane on the way there, it can suddenly have the ability to pick up 90 stations.
But what?
Someone is lying to you.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, there is a lot of space on the dial, but in this country, you can go down and there's huge, great spaces,
enormous,
but there's no radio station.
And
so why is that then?
Because I don't know. The engineers.
Well, maybe there's some radio ham out there who can answer that question.
I don't believe that question can be answered. He's got his hand up in there. Simo wants to answer that question.
But anyway, let me just say something about the.
Hang on, he's got the answer for us. What's the answer, smart ass?
Well, there are lots of stations here, but they're all pirate.
No, that's not the answer. Because we're talking about the government saying that there isn't enough room on the dial for more, and not only they're saying that, but unbelievably they're saying, but these stations might not make any money. So that is any business of the government. Incredible.
Well, it's true what Timo says. If you go through the dial, especially at the weekend, there are hundreds of stations all broadcasting on frequencies that obviously exist,
right,
but have not been licensed by the radio authority, which is a little bit annoying, I suppose. But
plenty of room.
Okay, but that's not what I started out saying. I started out saying that the stations that do exist, all initially started out, they won their licenses because they were in some way kind of specialist. Their initial brief was to be specialist in a kind of way.
Yes,
not anymore,
because they
morphed into one great big station. They're all the same.
But that's because
that's my problem.
There was this ridiculous notion that we are going to only give these frequencies out to people who will play music that nobody wants to hear. And so they had to say, we will be unpopular, in order to get the thing in the first place.
Well, then that just completely contradicts everything you say then, doesn't it? Because if initially they want to play, music that you say nobody wants to hear, they have to be unpopular. If they can't do it in a market where there aren't many other stations, if there were 90 stations, how could they possibly make it? How could they possibly make money? You're saying these stations, let's say there's only five big FM stations in London, how come they can't make it and they have to change their brief and start playing more mainstream music rather than specialist music?
Because there aren't
enough.
And
then you're saying if there are 90 stations and they were playing specialist music, they would still make it. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, of course it makes sense, because
it doesn't.
Of course it makes sense, because if there are enough stations suiting the mainstream, the majority, then satellite stations will succeed because...
Why do you need more than one station to suit the mainstream, the majority? Surely one station should
do
it.
Well, that's like saying we only need BBC One.
But you might as well. Nobody... If you listen to a music station, they do all sound the same. The disc jockeys all sound the same, with some exceptions. They do. They're all like gurgling babies.
Well,
they're talking like the same old
well,
nonsense.
Well, that is partly the fault of the industry as a whole, because those people have been told to... Shut up, read off the card.
You're
not
exactly.
funny, you have to speak like this in order to get the job.
Why do you need five stations with people doing that when you could just have one? People don't... You know, that people generally don't switch around their dials. Only people who work in radio switch around their dials. Once people... This is the radio station's problems in getting new listeners, isn't it? They have a problem with getting new listeners because people, once they tune their radio, they generally leave it there.
And the reason that they do that is because up till relatively recently, they've never had a choice. And so they don't have the sort of manner of listening that they do in America, where they've had dozens of stations to choose from for decades, all of which, are... suiting the wide cross-section of the public, so that they do flip around. Well, over here, it's been Radio 1 for about the first 20 years of modern radio, and that was it. So, no, we don't have the culture where you flip around. Let's take a couple of these. Here's one in Colindale.
Hello.
Hello, dear.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that I've lost my dog and maybe tell you what he looks like, so if anyone sees him.
Andy, are you serious? Did you vet this call before you put it up?
Vet?
Very funny. Excuse me, but a lost dog is not funny.
No, it's not. I've been crying my eyes out for 2 days.
Well, I understand that your problem, but this is not the lost pet line.
I know.
You've got to be kidding.
I know.
You are joking, right?
No.
You
I will understand, don't you, Carol?
Yeah, I do. If I lost my dog, I'd do anything. I'd even phone a radio station and say, find my dog.
Yeah.
I can't find your dog, dear. I'm stuck on the air here for an hour.
Well, you never know. Somebody might have... You know, she's in Colindale. A lot of people listen to the show in Colindale. We get a lot of calls from Colindale. What does your dog look like, Claire?
He's black and white. Rat...
Hang on, come on. What does he look like?
He's black and white.
Yeah.
He's a Labrador.
Yeah.
And his name's Prince.
Okay. Sweet. Poor
I saw one of those being dragged into the kitchen of a Chinese restaurant around Colindale just the other day.
Knickers, you shut your cake off. Well, I hope you find him, Claire.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a nice lady. 0171 412 1152. Here's one in Hackney. Hello.
Hey, brother.
Isn't he just so horrid?
Oh, what a monster.
He's a monster, that's right.
He's only good idiots like me, Tony.
Yeah, because you're used to him, and you're not scared of him.
No, exactly. Before I tell you why I'm fine, can I just ask you a question? It might sound stupid, but the talk radio station, do they never have...
Wait a minute.
Speech radio stations, you mean?
Is that what you mean? You mean
you're talking speech radio
generically?
Stations,
yeah.
Okay.
Do they ever have a program where they employ a presenter to do that program, or does every presenter come with their own program? It seems to me like every time they leave one station and go to another... They take exactly the same program with them. Is that stupid?
Well, I guess you only can do what you do. I mean,
some of them know. Like
Peter Deely wouldn't do daft stuff like this, but then neither would I do serious issues like Peter. Wherever you go, there you are.
Sean Bolger. It's exactly the same. If you didn't know which channel you turned into. You wouldn't know.
It's the same as writers. Yeah. I mean, writers are the same. If A.A. Gill went to write for the Sunday Telegraph, he'd still be writing the same stuff.
Right, so it's a stupid question.
Well, no, it's not actually, Len. I know what you're saying.
That's a reasonable question.
It shouldn't be done, because when you join a radio station, once you sign a contract, and basically everything, every idea that you have and everything you broadcast on that station is owned by the station.
Yeah.
So, what I know what you're saying about the show
like
you just mentioned.
Someone like couldn't go from ITV to BBC with blind date.
No way. Absolutely no way. And some presenters do go from station to station taking what they say are their features, and they do exactly the same features and the same quizzes and everything else on other stations. And in actual fact,
They shouldn't really do that because it's not really allowed. So it's not a stupid question at all. And people do it, but they get away with it.
I thought it was the part that had gone out on the air is the property of the previous play.
No, it's ideas. It's intellectual property. You waive all rights. You waive all your rights, all your moral rights. Every single idea that you have, even as a producer, as a radio producer, you don't own... I don't know.
If I change stations, I'd have to speak in a different voice.
No, don't be silly.
Well, where do you draw the line?
I don't know where you draw the line. You'd have to get a lawyer involved to draw the line, wouldn't you?
Like if I change stations, I mean, I couldn't do funny.
No, don't be ridiculous. If you have an idea for a competition or a feature,
right,
and you call it something, then you can't go off to another station and do the same thing. You just plainly can't do it.
What is that?
It's like...
Yeah, it doesn't really apply to your sort of program.
No, because it's conversation. No. You can't copyright conversation.
That's why I said that Sean Bolger, because he has all these little features in it.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same.
Well, we'll be doing a lightning round after the news at 9.
Can I... Hello?
But thanks a lot, Les.
Wait, Nick.
Oh, and in closing.
Oh, no.
Yes?
Yeah, you're on.
I'll tell you what, I phoned up, because it's turning into Top Gear night. I'm looking for a car, and I can't believe these car salesmen. Where else do you go to buy something where they ask you, well, how much money have you got? Because you go in there and you say, well, I'm looking for whatever, and they go, well, how much do you want to spend? And you tell them, you say, like, well, I want to spend 5,000. They go, well, I've got a nice Astra over there, 7. And they talk about the extra 2,000 like
it's
fiver.
So you should say to them, so what you're saying is that you'd give that to me for 5 grand then, is that right?
Right, and last Saturday night, when I closed the shop, it was late, up past 9, I thought, I'll go and have a look around the showrooms, I won't get pestered by salesmen.
Mm.
I turned up at, can I say the name?
No.
All right, I turned up at a very well-known car place,
yeah.
Up past 11 last Saturday night, and the salesmen were there.
You're joking!
Like, three of them defended on me and took me into the office and sat me down.
Oh, was it the night before a new registration or something?
No, last Saturday, wasn't it?
Oh, was it a new registration last week then?
No, August, that one.
How bizarre!
Amazing.
That is bizarre.
They grilled me for about half an hour.
How sad is that? Oh, trying to sell cars at 11:30 on a Saturday night. Maybe they were burglars.
Did you come out toasty warm? Crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside.
Maybe they were robbers.
No. Well, yes, they were. They were very, very relaxed and casual.
With suits on, no doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good luck trying to buy a car. It's almost as difficult as buying a house, actually, buying a car.
I really hate it.
Hey, listen, then, we're going to go.
Bye.
Yeah.
There's too much hate in your life. 0171 412 1152.
Haggard Blue sold over 500,000 copies in 1984. Haggard Blue was again successfully released in 1998. Recycling rubbish works. Recycling. Be doing your bit.
You're listening to the boy from the Big Bad City.
Oh, I wanted a nice Saturday evening.
It's Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin.
So talking of selling and buying things, I think I'm going to have to do the ultimate stress nightmare. Although I'm not under enough stress as is.
You won't survive it.
And I'm going to have to sell, because I did have the notion of doing your trick. What is the matter with you?
I had eight. Just carry on.
Of doing your trick and keeping the flat and renting it out while going and buying another one.
Oh,
but
my God.
Unfortunately, I'm not a multi-millionaire like you are.
Neither am I. I'm just clever.
I'm going to have to sell my flat.
You don't have to sell it.
I'm going to have to sell it and buy another one at the same time.
Well,
totally not looking forward to that. I can't even begin to put it in words. And I'm going to have to deal with estate agents. They're great. I went to about 5 estate agents in my vicinity, all of which I could walk to within about 5 minutes. And I said, can I be put on your books to send me the details of all properties in this area and about 5 other areas? We were covering about a quarter of London.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many packets of information I have received from each of these 5 estate agents and all of their satellite offices in the places where I asked. Not one single stinking piece of information, which means that either in the last 3 weeks, no property in virtually all of London has come up for sale, or they're crap at doing their jobs?
I think the latter is probably more likely. They don't bother. They probably think you're a time waster. No, they do. They estate agents, ask any estate agent, and they think that they can suss out the time wasters instantly. And they don't know anything about, they don't know anything about people, they don't know anything about business, they don't know anything about money. All they know is that they do nothing for an awful lot of money, absolutely nothing. And they get away with it. And I read today, actually, that the government's going to tighten up their code of practice. So that they have to
start
behaving.
Gonna. That's like the sentence of death.
Yeah, well,
Tony Blair says, I'm gonna. So we'll all hold our breath.
This is the Voice of London on 11:52 a.m. LBC News.
It's 9 o'clock. I'm Nikki Harvey.